Thank you, Brother Ben. Appreciate those encouraging words. Because Thessalonians talks about when we see these things come to pass, we have to look up and rejoice because our redemption draws nigh. And also in the latter part of that verse, it says, comfort each other with these thoughts. So just the thoughts of Jesus coming back should be a comfort to each one of us if we are walking with him. First off, I also want to acknowledge Seth Stolzfus. He's at this point, he's in Ohio, got married on Friday, and is planning to spend a couple months in Ohio and then going to Germany for a two-year commitment. I know his name was on the board this morning, but just thinking about that, I recognize many of you were not at the wedding when an update was given, and we prayed for them at the wedding. But also want to just take a moment to pray for them, because I recognize a two-year commitment is a commitment, and may God go before them. Father, we just lift up Seth and Sierra this morning. I pray that you would just touch them in a mighty way. Lord, as they begin their wedded life together, I pray that the anointing and the power of your Holy Spirit would rest upon their lives as they look at the next couple years spending in Germany. I pray that you would use them mightily for your honor, for your glory. We just commit them to you this morning. Also commit the service here. Pray that you would just guide and direct, Lord, that your name be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. If we can clear the front row and have all the children from 3 to 10 come to the front. This morning I want to talk about creation. First, while they're coming, creation, according to the dictionary, says the act of creating, the act of causing to exist, and especially the act of bringing this world in existence. Another definition is the act of making, by new combination of manner, investing in new forms and properties, and the creation of man and other animals, and plants and minerals. Also, the act producing the things created, creation, the world, the universe. Anything produced or caused to exist is the definition of creation. So this morning I want to read about creation and our part in it. Do any of you have this book? The Creator in You, which it talks about, the first part talks about creation, talks about God creating the heavens and the earth. And the second part is about our part in creation. So, I just want to read it. You all ready? And maybe you can help me fill in the blanks. Okay? In the very beginning, a long time ago, who created the world? God created the world so that we would all know that he himself is a working God, though you might think it a little bit odd. He didn't go to the office, a school, or a cafe, right? He didn't go to the office to work. He didn't go to the school, or he didn't go to the cafe. But he worked nevertheless, much like we do today. In a world dark and empty, he drew up his plans to make oceans, the sky, and even the land. With his work just beginning, he rolled up his sleeves. He built mountains and rivers and towers of trees. And what else did he make? He made the stars, right? Stars, what's that? And the sea. The book here says, he grabbed a paintbrush and painted the stars and dressed up the skies with Saturn and Mars. With just a few words, he made creatures appear like polar bear, penguins, alpaca, and deer, and many more, right? All the animals that he created, everything that he created. And how many days did God create the world? 6. And some people say way more, but according to the Bible, he created the world in 6 days. God created the world in a manner of days, a world for exploring, for work, and for play. We all like to explore, right? We all like to play. And we also like to work, right? Everybody likes to work. Before his day off, God had one more to do. In his 6th day of creating, God chose to make you, right? In 6 days, according to Genesis 1, in 6 days, God made you. Now you might think that our story is ending, but in fact, it's just the beginning. God made you to look like him, to act, to work, and create with him. Each one of us like to create things, right? We like to do things. We like to, for the ladies or the girls, you like to bake and create things from that. And for us men, we like, boys, we like to make something out of wood or woodworking. Or what do you like to create? Anybody have any? You like baking? How about you boys? What do you like to create? Anything out of wood? Because we're in 6 days, God created a lot. There are so many things he simply did not. Like bridges and baseball, sandcastles and s'more, God asked us to create and fill the planet with more. So grab a blank sheet of paper and create with your hands, or draw up some plans for a lemonade stand. Right, we can all do. God created us. God is the creator, and he has put within each one of us to also create. If that would not be within us, we would not have buildings, highways, bridges, skyscrapers. But God put that within us to also create. So roll up your sleeves and build epic tree forts, and someday build cities, towers, and ports. So you think someday one of you will be building cities, building houses, building bridges, or drawing up some plans for architecture. With your very own brush, paint your own starry night, or engineer a space shuttle and blast off into flight. With just a few words, write a book or a song that sparks inspiration or a great sing-along. There's many talents here this morning that we can do, right? Create new businesses, movies, medicine, and hope. Make laws or computers or a new telescope. Right? All those are things that people created. Because when you work or you make something new, you're doing what God has made you to do. You're showing the world what your Father is like, a God who creates to bring people delight. So when you show others the Creator in you, you bring joy to the world and to your Father too. So when you're out there creating, you bring joy to your Father because he is the creator, first of all, the creator of all things. But as we work with our hands, as we play, as we explore, it is the creation that God has made. And I believe he takes pleasure when we enjoy the creation that he has made. So when you go out from here today, just look at the creation, what God has made, and also as you make something, as you create something, think in this way. It is because God has created you to create. May God bless you. You may go back to your seats. I have three different points this morning. First point is God is the creator of the world. The second point is in the New Testament, God is still making a new creation in man. And the third point is God is preparing or creating a dwelling place for us. And he makes all things new. He makes a new heaven and a new earth. So the text for the message this morning I want to read in Genesis 1. I'm going to read it out of New King James. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, "Let there be firmaments in the midst of the heavens, in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." Thus God made the firmaments and divided the waters which was under the firmaments from the waters which was above the firmaments, and it was so. And God called the firmaments heaven, so evening and morning were the second day. And God said, "Let the waters be under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear," and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called sea, and God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, and herbs that yield seed, and the fruit trees that yield fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in it, and the earth," and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and morning were the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the firmaments of heaven to divide the day from the night. And let there be signs and seasons for years, for days and for years. And let there be lights for the firmaments of heaven to give light on the earth." And it was so. And God made two great lights. The greater light to rule the day. And your children, the greater light is what? The light that we see in the daytime is the sun, correct. And the lesser light, which is not quite as bright, is called what in the for the night? The moon. And God set them in the firmaments of the heavens to give light on the earth. Verse 18. And to rule over the day and over the night, to divide the light from the darkness, and God saw that it was good. So evening and morning were the fourth day. And then God said, "Let the waters abound with abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly in the earth above the face of the firmaments of the heavens." So God made great sea creatures and every living thing that moved, in which were the waters abound according to their kind. And every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the sea, and let the birds multiply on the earth." So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures after its kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth according to its kind." And it was so. That's like we read about, right? That God brought forth the animals. And God made the beasts of the earth according to its kind, the cattle according to its kind, and everything that creepeth on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And then God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over all the creeping things that creepeth on the earth." So that was the sixth day that God chose to make you, me and you, right? So God created man in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. 28. And God blessed them, and God said, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over ever living things that move on the earth." And God says, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree that whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. And to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and everything that creepeth on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food, and it was so. And God saw that everything that he made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and morning were the sixth day. Then chapter 2 talks about the seventh day and rest. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. And the seventh day God ended his work which he has done and rested on the seventh day from his work which he had done. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created. The day that the Lord God made the heaven and the earth and the heavens. Before any plant on the field was on the earth, and before any herb of the field were grown, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground. But the moist went from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God made man of the dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and God made a living being. And the Lord planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man which he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that was pleasant to sight and good for food. And the tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now the river which went out of Eden to water the garden, and from that parted and became four river heads. So God is the creator. And I acknowledge that everyone here believes that God is the creator of the universe, right? We all believe that. In the times we live in, it is important that we have that settled within. Because there's a push to discredit it. I was also looking at some reading material in Answers in Genesis. So if you want more information or reading material, Answers in Genesis is a good place to look. Creation, which worldview do we believe or endorse? Obviously, there's two worldviews. One is the Bible, and a young earth created in 6 days. Or the other is evolution. Who is the creator? Do we know that the Bible is correct when it said that God created the heavens and the earth and everything therein in 6 days? Or did it evolve? I know there's teaching out there that that there's a timeline, which I'll get into that later. Is the Bible a history book that's accurate? It is, right? We all acknowledge that. But do we know how to put it into words when we're faced with someone that says that the Bible is not correct? We can't trust it because of whatever, because there's no way that the earth is only 6,000 years old, because all the rock formations and the layers of according to the dating system and stuff like that. But do we know that the Bible is an accurate history book and that we can put our faith and our trust in it? So why? It is because there is a creation. Because there is a creation, we know that there is a creator. I mean, we look at this building, and we know that someone built this building. There was a builder. We know that, right? Or any buildings out there, that you can look at the architect or whatever, and you know that there was a builder because the building exists. So we don't question the fact that a building had a builder. Neither should we question that creation that there's a creator. Just looking at the answers in Genesis, they were bringing out the difference of world views. And evolutionary timeline makes no sense considering what Jesus said about creating man in the beginning of creation. It is estimated today by naturalistic scientists that the universe is about 13.8 billion years old. This means that if you try to argue for evolution or an old world creation position, then man was created after 99.99997% of those billions of years had passed. So if you believe that the world was created 13.8 billion years ago, that means for majority of those 13.8 billion years, which is 99.99997%, had passed before man came upon this earth. So in that aspect, it doesn't make sense. The evolutionary timeline makes no sense considering what Jesus said about creating man at the beginning of creation, or what the Bible teaches about God forming the earth to be inhabited. If creation is true, there is a creator of whom we are accountable. Evolution, as often presented today, is an enabler for atheists. Evolution gives atheists a basis for explaining how life developed apart from a creator God, and serves as a substitute creation story for the religion of atheism. So the Bible is clear. God is the creator. Any interpretation of science that attempts to remove God from involvement with origins is incompatible with Scripture. Creation is the bedrock of our faith. If we don't believe creation, we might as well throw the Bible out. If we don't believe the beginning of the Bible, how can we trust the rest? If we don't believe that God created the world in 6 days, how can we believe it when God says that he will redeem man to himself? Or like Ben said, how can we believe that Jesus is coming back, that the world will end, if we don't believe that there was a beginning, that God created in 6 days? Or there was just a big bang, and like some people say, that we're just stardust, that different parts of stars created to the left and the right and stuff like that, and we just evolved out of that. It doesn't make sense, because we look at how each one is created. It didn't just happen by chance. All the organs within that work with each other and stuff like that, we didn't just explode out of stardust. But God is the creator. And if we don't believe that God is the creator, then we might as well just throw Christianity out the door. I want to look at some Old and New Testament verses that talk about God being the creator. Psalm 33:6. I'm just going to quickly go through them. You don't have to look them up. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. Psalm 90:2, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Psalm 95:6, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Which is acknowledging that the Lord is our Maker. Psalm 118:24, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We will be glad because God has made this day. Psalms 121:1-2. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Imagine not being able to go somewhere or go to someone in a dire need. I mean, for those that don't believe there is a God, where will we go for help in a time of trouble? I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From when comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Psalms 124:8. Our help is the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Psalms 139:13-14. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and all my soul, and that my soul knows very well. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. We're not just made by some sort of explosion. Some star came down and exploded, and therefore we came out of that dust. But no, we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Ecclesiastes 3:11. He has made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he made eternally in our hearts, except that no man can find out the work that God does from beginning to the end. Ecclesiastes 12:1. Remember now your Creator in the day of your youth, before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. Isaiah 40:28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Isaiah 45:9. Woe unto him that strives with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherd of the earth. Shall the clay say to him who formed it, what are you making? Or shall your handiwork say, he has no hands? Isaiah 45:18. For thus says the Lord who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who established it, who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Jeremiah 32:17. Our Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched hand. There is nothing too hard for you. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. There is nothing too hard for him. Amos 9:6. He who built his lairs in the sky, he has found his in the earth, who called for the waters of the sea and poured them out on the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. Now, I want to look at a couple of verses in the New Testament, Matthew 19:4-6. And he answered and said unto him, have you not read that he that made them in the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this reason shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. But it's referring to the beginning, when God created man and woman. John 1:3, all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. All things were made through him. Acts 17:28, for in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Romans 1:20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So even the creation declare the glory of God. As we look at creation, as we look at even the sunrise and sunsets, which are, by the way, very beautiful this time of year, very beautiful colors. And just looking at that, you know that there is a creator because of his creation. Romans 11:36, for in him and through him and in him, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to him be glory forever. Amen. 1 Corinthians 8:6, yet for us there is one God, the Father of whom are all things, and we for him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we live. Then 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, behold, all things are made new. Then Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So we are created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them, because we are his workmanship. Hebrews 3:4, for every house is built by someone, but he that builds all things is God. He's using the natural. Every house is built by someone, but he that builds all things is God. Then Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand that worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. James 1:18, of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be the kind of first fruit of his creatures. Then Revelation 5:13, and every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such are in the sea and all that are in them are heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power to him that sitteth on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Every creature which God has created, which is in the heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea, worship him saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Amen. God is the creator of all things. God is the creator of this world. Then point two, the New Testament, God is still making a new creation in man, which look at John 3:16, a very familiar verse. And no man, well, let's start at verse 13. And no man ascended up from heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. A new creation, a new birth. 2 Corinthians 5:17 again says, therefore, if everyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. All things become new. That day when God came down and visited us and redeemed us from our sins, and cleansed us, and purified us, and made us white as snow. All things became new. The old things that were part of our life passed away. The old desires, the old lusts, and whatever else that we were involved in, those things passed away, and everything became new. We became a new creation. Only God can do that. Take something that's old and made something new out of it. Romans 8:21-22. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. Galatians 6:15. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision availeth anything, but a new creation. The outward things, the circumcision or uncircumcision, they don't amount to much. They don't amount to anything. They don't avail anything. But a new creation that God does in each one of us. As we repent, as we believe and put our trust in Jesus Christ, we become that new creation. And God creates, makes a new creation in man. And point number three, God is preparing or creating a dwelling place for us, and he makes all things new, new heaven and new earth. John 14:1-4. Let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. The Amplified says, in my Father's house there are many dwelling places, homes. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. For I'm going away to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. So God is preparing a dwelling place for us to bring us to himself. Like Ben mentioned, there will also always be a church. Jesus Christ will have his bride. There will be people that will stand fast to the end. And maybe you and I. May we walk in that new creation that God has created within us. And that dwelling place, I want to just look at Revelations, just a couple of verses in Revelations. 21:5. Then he that sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. He makes all things new. There will be a new heaven and new earth. The old things are going to pass away. The earth as we see it with its curse, with the sin curse, is going to pass away. And he's going to make it new, brand new, for us to dwell there, to explore, maybe to create. Verse 10. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like unto the most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates, and its walls. The city is laid out as a square, its length is as great as a breadth. And he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs, its lengths, breadths, and heights are equal. So they said 12,000 furlongs is right around 1,500 miles. And he measured its walls, 144 cubits, 144 cubits thick, according to the measure of a man, that is of an angel. And the construction of his walls were of jasper, and the city was of pure gold, like clear glass. What a city. 1,500 miles. So we think of 1,500 miles, that's big. But then you also look at the heights. That's over 7 million feet high. So you take 1,500 times 5,280, that's like 7 million, I think 900 some feet. So that massive city wall, 7 million feet square, 7 million feet high, that God has prepared for us. May we not lose heart, but may we walk in what God has for us. May we order our lives and walk in holiness before him. May the things of this earth, like the Bible says, grow strangely dim as we look for the coming of the Lord. Like Thessalonians talks about, that we are to comfort one another with these words. The creation that God has created, yes, on this earth, we are to enjoy, to create in. But the creation that God has created in heaven is just indescribable. This wall, the construction of this wall was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass, the purest gold that could be found, way purer than what we ever experienced on this, here. But 7 million feet. We can't even wrap our minds around that, how high 7 million feet is. But I want to just close with reading the song, This is My Father's World. This is my Father's world, and to my listening ear, all nature sing, and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world, I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees and skies and seas, his hands the wondrous wrought. This is my father's world. The birds that Carl sing, raise. The morning light, the lilies white, declare their maker's praise. This is my father's world. He shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass, I hear him pass. He speaks to me everywhere. This is my father's world. Oh, let me never forget that thought, the wrong seems oft so strong. God is ruler yet. This is my father's world. Why should my heart be sad? The king, the Lord is king. Let heavens ring. God reigns. Let the earth be glad. This is my father's world. Let us be glad and rejoice in it.